So the first question is, how do you think Everton cutting ties with USM Holdings could affect the building of the new stadium?
There's a lot of unanswered questions at the moment in terms of how much. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, they were acquired the option to the naming rights to the stadium beginning of 2020 or 2021, I think. So that wasn't for the naming rights. It was just our first refusal on them, and that was for 30 million. But obviously, the idea was to increase that relationship over time, I think. But the big thing is that it's not all been funded from Farhad Moshiri and USM. It's been done. There was about 45 million from Liverpool City Council, but there's still about £400 million worth of funding which needs to be found to kind of complete the project. Now Moshiri stumped up a considerable amount already related to the stadium project, but the issue is that his own wealth is tied up in USM. So he's resigned his position as chairman, but he still owns 8% of the company, and his business interests are largely kind of domiciled in Russia. So it's how he's not under threat of any sanctions at all, and he does have some business interests where they're kind of domiciled in the Virgin Islands and the Isle of Man and Cyprus and places like this. But it's how much it affects his own personal fortune and how it may shake him to not commit in as much capital as he would have done in the first place to the project had he, you know, things just been normal, where he would have been able to lean on Alisher Usmanov and USM's help. So in the short term, I think things will just carry on as planned, but they'll be trying to find just where the extra funding comes from. Obviously, the difficulty for Everton in finding that funding is, are they going to be a Premier League team next year? How will they be affected in terms of kind of FFP stopping their spend, meaning they'd be uncompetitive and they've made losses 3 years in a row? So all that considered, you know, are they an attractive option for lenders to stump up a lot of capital to help them see the project through? I don't know. I dare say there'd be someone out there willing to do that kind of deal. But really, it all rests on how much Farhad Moshiri has been impacted personally by what's gone on with USM, because that is ultimately where his kind of wealth has been accrued.
It was estimated that the naming rights to the stadium was going to give Everton 30 million. Do you reckon USM will still sponsor the stadium, or do you think they'll have to go elsewhere?
No, that'll be done now. The naming rights, it was just for the option to do it. So it was, you know, it wasn't the actual naming rights that were sold. It was just that they basically had first refusal, and that deal itself had to be referred to the Premier League for making sure it didn't breach kind of related party transactions, because it was kind of fairly unique in the fact that you've not sold anything. You've just sold the first option to do it if you wanted to, and they've sold it for a very big sum. So that they booked that money, so that's already there. I mean, now it's obviously not going to be USM. They'll have to find someone else to kind of name the stadium or buy the naming rights to the stadium. But finding the kind of backers that they probably would have had with USM and get the kind of money that they would have hoped for will be challenging without that kind of simpatico relationship that USM and Everton have. Because you look at Spurs, they're still we're like 2.5 years down the line now in their new stadium, still can't sell the naming rights. And they could sell them for a lot less than they wanted to, you know, if they would bring the price down, but they believe the value of them is significant. And they're looking to doing a long-term deal over many, many years. So it will probably alter what Everton were going to get through USM, because obviously they would have been more willing to kind of invest into the club that way by sponsoring them heavily. But I don't, you know, USM is, I know it's a suspension thus far, but I think politically it would be a real, real no-no. for Everton to kind of get back into bed, I suppose, with USM after what's gone on in, between Russia and Ukraine. I think it's probably, you know, that relationship now seems done.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, but like, do you think Everton will receive the same sort of money from a different sponsor?
No, I don't. It's why the Premier League put so much emphasis on these related party transactions, and why there was so much. You know, I don't know if you remember recently when PIF took over at Newcastle, there was a big push from the Premier League to put a temporary pause on related party transactions because, you know, Man City in the past have been accused of inflating their own deals through their relationships in the UAE. And Everton were one of those clubs that would have been looked at because of their relationship with USM and Megafon, Yota, etc. So I think they would have been able to get the price. It's all about fair market value. So if is fair market value what Manchester City get, or is it what, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another team, with the, you know, what Brighton get for the sponsorship of the Amex. You know, it's all relevant. So would USM probably have been more willing to spend up to what the biggest teams are getting? I imagine so. But now Everton, in their, you know, they're struggling financially. The squad isn't great. They're probably going to have to sell players. There's an air of kind of toxicity around it almost because of the way the last few years have gone, and then what's happened recently. So you wonder whether they will be a really attractive proposition to someone attaching their name to it. But you know, stranger things have happened, and things move on quickly. So it depends what the political landscape looks like, I suppose, in 18 months, 2 years' time.
We've seen Megafon sponsors around Goodison Park. I guess you could say they're like a sister company to USM. Just expect the club to remove these as well as USM, or.
Yeah, they've already gone through the process of moving Megafon signs from around Goodison Park. So basically, it's, you know, it's to do with Alex Ruzmanov's sanctions, which he's got in the EU. And, you know, he owns Megafon. He's a majority shareholder in USM. So anything like that, you know, USM branding. It was that kind of strange quirk when Everton did a great job of kind of showing solidarity with Ukraine a couple of weeks back with the Man City game, because obviously they had Mykolenko and Zinchenko on opposite teams, but in the background was USM branding, you know, for basically advertising a company which its majority shareholder was had close ties with, you know, the Russian president that's invading the Ukraine. So yeah, any associations with Usmanov's businesses, they've all been removed by, or suspended at present, but I imagine that those relationships won't be active again.
Yeah. Although, like, we see that Mascheri is kind of seen as like the owner of the club. Do you think this shows how much like Usmanov actually has an influence on Everton and Mascheri?
Yeah, I think they've always been kind of, they go hand in hand for a lot of things through, even before their time at Arsenal. They've both been involved in business together for a long, long time. Mascheri is the owner, you know, but in terms of having to be able to lean on someone of financial wealth, Usmanov's, I think he's within the top, well, I think he's about in the top 120 billionaires in the world. And in the UK list, he's very, very high when he was based in the UK. So there's, The links there are kind of, you can't get away from. I mean, they were shareholders together at Arsenal. They both have interest in the same company. They both have a shareholding in the same company. But again, Mascheri's wealth is tied up so much in Usmanov's business dealings that it's hard to make that separation. But ultimately now we'll have to see what kind of Mascheri's real, you know, kind of, he's out on his own a bit now, and see what his actual plans are, kind of minus the Usmanov influence, because everyone accepted that, you know, Alisher Usmanov was like just a wealthy benefactor, almost happy to invest his money through sponsorship, but never wanted a shareholding. And he was asked previously a couple of years back about, you know, would he want to shareholder in Everton? He said no, he's happy to do it from the outside. And it's probably, you know, a good thing that never came to pass, really, because it would have created a whole manner of problems for Everton moving forward. Now, if he was a shareholder, as we've seen with Chelsea, Abramovich trying to kind of expedite the sale of the club imminently, so they don't, you know, they don't have their assets frozen. But yeah, he's always had considerable influence. But it, you know, Mashiri's for all intents and purposes is the name on the door. You know, we'll see soon enough whether, you know, he has the financial wherewithal to kind of continue the club's drive forward.
Yeah, as for the forward, as you just mentioned, we've seen previous years Everton's limited spending in the transfer window. Do you reckon this will be affected even more by the ongoings recently, or how do you think they'll make up the money towards the stadium? Do you reckon they'll have to sell more?
Yes, I do. I think eventually it's going to have to come down to cost savings somewhere. There's a lot of players this summer who there's an actual kind of wastage that falls through contracts, you know, expiring, etc., and you can replace those. So you've got some, you know, who's out of contract this summer? You've got Tosin, Sigurdsson, Delph. So you're probably going to save £250,000 on wages, and they're not going to go out and spend 250 grand on wages. But, you know, it just allows that breathing space. It's all about, but then they're going to have to raise funds to invest. Because ultimately they can't, you know, if they stay up, which still remains a big if, they're going to have to invest and they can't have another season like they've had this season. So you look at the assets they've got, Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Jordan Pickford maybe, probably reaching there a bit, but it's, so there's assets that they can sell, and ultimately it could come down to that where the club isn't in the short term, medium term, going to match the ambitions of Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So they cash in and they try and start again. So they have some, and try and get their finances in order by the time they get to Bramley Moor, so they can make use of the extra revenue that they will pull in from that ground itself.
Yeah. So finally, if Everton was to go down, do you think the stadium would, development would stop?
It's difficult. I mean, we've already got through planning approval. But, you know, these things we've seen in, you know, you only have to look at across Europe. I think it was Valencia, the stadium kind of lay dormant for a long, long time while they tried to secure financing. These things can be, you know, they can take years. I mean, just because planning approval hasn't been built in a particular, you know, time frame, it's a case of they just, these things, it can just stand there until they find the financing for it. But it won't help matters because, you know, the Championship playoff final is the most valuable game of football to the winner, and losing money, losing Premier League status is enormous, especially when you've got, I mean, Everton have never been out of the Premier League, and they work in they've almost, that wage bill works on the assumption that they don't think they're going to be out of the Premier League either. So you really get a team like Everton where lads are on 4 or 5 year contracts and they're earning £100,000 a week. You take that down to the Championship, and soon those parachute payments dissipate quickly. And if you don't come up with the first time of asking, or the second time of asking, you become, and look how close Aston Villa sailed to the wind. They, you know, they almost had to have a fire sale when they did, when they missed out. But you become Sunderland, or you become Portsmouth. You know, so there's warning signs there to be had. But I do think it would undoubtedly affect how they raise funds for the stadium, being outside the Premier League, because they're ultimately building the stadium to invest in their future, to be a kind of an income generator and kind of propel them to kind of challenging for European places. But going down would be catastrophic, I think.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Yeah, no worries.